later years, i.e. the death of a child, mm-hmm. death of a spouse, do you find all of a sudden that they are beginning to exhibit, or that alcohol problems generally, I say alcohol, that's our drug of choice, become more prevalent? You notice an older group coming in for the first time to an alcohol abuse program?
I can only answer that by saying the biggest age group in our system is the is 36 to 55. Half of our veterans' admissions are in that age group.
Then talk to me a little bit about the older veteran that's in your program. Why is he there, and has he been there before?
That I can't answer. I can tell you this, and it's in my testimony. We have a new client data reporting system. I hope to have updated new information in about 3 months. I'd be happy to come back and fill you in on that kind of information, but I can't answer you right now with that. One of the sad parts about our particular end of the field is that if someone is heavily involved in alcohol substance abuse, let's say a veteran my age, and they've been so for a long period of time, there are not many around.
But my sense is that we may see some of the Korean and World War II veterans starting to publicly exhibit destructive behavior as they get older. I'm not sure if that's necessarily different from the general geriatric population or not. I'm not even sure that I'm correct in what I suspect may be going on.
I hope to have more for you later. Yes,
Gary?
Yeah, I think what he's talking about, and I've heard several reports, and I think we discussed it at our meeting at one time, are the older veteran, a World War II veteran, a Korean veteran, ages, and in particular when they begin to lose spouses and they're alone, that they start manifesting these symptoms of PTSD and other kinds of events. And I think that's what you're talking about.
That's part of it, yeah.
It's an area that, you know, I think we should be cognizant of.
Need study, yes. Yes.
You're talking about this new PTSD program you think about starting up about from alcohol and substance abuse?
Right.
Okay. Now, will you be incorporating or either interacting with people who have already been treated for PTSD and alcohol and substance abuse? Would they be working alongside your agencies and with other employees
of the
agency?
This is going to be a self-contained hybrid. It's mm-hmm. going to include PTSD and alcohol substance abuse treatments combined. Usually, what's happened in the past, the two sort of sides sometimes fight with each other, all right, in the treatment process. This is an attempt to put it all together as a package.
Okay, so will you be using, I guess, asking people who has been on PTSD,
yes.
and alcohol patients,
yes, this agency
to,
is,
to
right.
interact with people who already
exactly.
went through the system?
This program already has combat veterans who are clinicians on staff okay. and have been doing this for some time. Okay. But right now, what they have is funding to do it in a separate facility, which is going to be brand new, refurbished, and it's going to be not part of the general sort of overall treatment process, but it's a special, separate setting for homeless vets.
John has a question, Pete.
Yes, hi. We've never met, but I know of your name and reputation, and it's been a good one over the years.
Thank you.
Helping with veterans and going back to the commission days. Well, I'm glad that we finally got that facility in Manhattan online. Obviously, we're talking 75 beds, I believe.
50.
50.
50.
It's even worse. We're talking 50
Remember,
beds.
Remember, but it's there.
Yes, I know. I know that your agency had been doing some training, and I was wondering if you could talk about that, about the idea that we had talked about in the commission, and it did seem to take some mm-hmm. hold. Of going out to your contract agencies and at least starting to talk about training the clinicians about PTSD and its relationship in veterans and the clients that they're treating. And there was some movement afoot, and I'm curious if you could report on what's happened with that aspect.
Very simple, it died.
It did die. Was it because it's strictly a budgetary issue, or
that the?
Could you just? We're both familiar of it, but I'd like you to, if you could, perhaps just a little bit about what that was about, so we can enlighten some of the other gentlemen here and ladies about what the intent was and what happened to it and why it was important. Might be a point.
The idea was at the time we were working about it, the two agencies were split between alcohol and drug side. And the idea of the training was to get clinicians sensitized to veterans' needs, that they were a different type of population in the sense that they needed special consideration on combat issues, PTSD, and the like. And that if these things were, if the clinicians knew what to look for, then they could better refer that client to a more appropriate setting. That never took place.
Because I think that that's then it. One of the things I think that I would like to see, perhaps, that we might recommend as a group of sitting down with, your commissioner and perhaps the governor and the legislature on this one. This is one, again, that I don't necessarily believe should take a lot of funding.
Mm-hmm.
I do, however, you constantly train people. You're constantly providing information to your contract agencies. I mean, that's going on ongoing all the time. And I really think that if it's important. If you're saying, the number's even higher than I thought. You're saying 11,000 people in your system now are veterans.
That's correct.
And if they're not, and as we've gone through this whole business, if they're not being at least diagnosed properly in the sense of whether or not they might have PTSD that might either contribute to their alcoholism, created it, or certainly exacerbate it, or their substance abuse services, without knowing that, or without taking that into consideration, these people are not going to get treated, and we're going to find this recidivism, which is a bad word for, I guess, but probably the only one that comes to mind, for people who coming back and back and back. Mm-hmm. And I've seen this time and again with veteran clients. They go through the alcohol programs, and they get up to there, and they get, oh, yes, you're an alcoholic, and your father was an alcoholic, yeah. And they never talk about the fact that he watched everybody in his unit get killed.
Mm-hmm.
And they never take that into consideration. The guy cleans up for a little while, goes back and has an episode, gets another nightmare, and he's back out in the bar again. And I think that it's imperative that training go on. Because the reality is, even though we have this nice 50-bed facility, and even if we tripled that, and even if we had half a dozen of them across the state, it's not going to put a dent in the 11,000 people that you are treating
mm-hmm.
today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's I think, a
well
real
taken.
Key issue.
Yes.
A real key issue for your agency to deal with. So hopefully we can take that word back and tell the commissioner we've got a bunch of veterans here who are concerned. And
yes.
That also would apply definitely to the, I hate to speak for other agencies.
So
I can barely speak for my own. but that would also apply to the other human service delivery agencies.
Yes.
Definitely. It's a good point.
But the difficulty with that is